It's time for your phone calls, your questions, and your comments. It's time for The Urban Scene with Don Frierson.
And good afternoon. Welcome to The Urban Scene. Don Frierson in the host chair on this very cool day. But still, it's a beautiful day because it's the day that God's given us. We're glad to be here. Glad that you are here with us. Mr. Frank Knapp is with us. He's president of the South Carolina Business Chamber of Commerce. And he has with him Miss Sarah Christian. She's a navigator with the South Carolina Primary Health Care Association. And we'll be telling you what that's all about. Before we get to them, though, I want to remind you, early voting is still in operation, so you can still go early vote, 2020 Hampton Street, Hopkins Park, and also on Park Lane Boulevard. One other thing I wanted to mention, if you're a fan of rap, then, of course, you have to be sad today. Takeoff, one-third of the group Migos, was killed last night in Houston, Texas. He is the youngest member of the group, which consisted of Quavo and Offset. Offset is married to Cardi B. So as the program continues later on in the week, we'll talk about that. But with us is Mr. Frank Knapp. Hello, Mr. Knapp. How are you doing?
Hey, Don. I haven't talked to you for a while. I hope you've been well.
I have been fine. And you have with you Miss Sarah Christian. She's a navigator with the South Carolina Primary Health Care Association. And we're going to be talking about what all that entails. But for people who don't know you, Frank, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thanks, Don. I am the president and CEO of the South Carolina Small Business Chamber of Commerce. And I've been fortunate to be a guest on your show, Don, numerous times. So I appreciate that. Sarah is actually not a navigator. She actually runs the navigator program for the South Carolina Primary Healthcare Association, right, Sarah?
Yes. Hi. Thanks for having me. Sarah Christian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Now, I just wanted to say in opening up, I'm pretty sure this has to deal with the Affordable Care Act. Am I correct?
that's correct, Don.
All right. All right, let's start out with the questioning. What is the Navigator program? And I'll just throw that out.
All right, Sarah, I'm going to let you handle that. But first, before we do that, the South Carolina Primary Healthcare Association is just I'm speaking for Sarah now. The South Carolina Small Business Chamber of Commerce is very proud to be a partner with the South Carolina Primary Healthcare Association on promoting the Affordable Care Act's federal health insurance marketplace. Our job is to reach out to small business owners to tell them about how a great opportunity they can have for obtaining quality individual health insurance for themselves and for their employees through the Affordable Care Act's health insurance marketplace. So that's our role in this, but all the heavy lifting is really being done by the South Carolina Primary Healthcare Association. So, Sarah, go ahead and ask me that question.
And, Frank, we're getting a little distortion on your line. I don't know where it's coming from, but just a little distortion. Okay, Ms. Christian, go ahead.
Okay, so, yeah, the Navigator program is statewide. It is free to all residents in South Carolina. So, essentially, what we do with this program is educate individuals on what the health insurance marketplace is, and if they're looking for health care coverage, we can assist them with the application process to enroll. And what's exciting is today is the first day of open enrollment. It runs through January 15, 2023, so we're ready to assist people in enrolling.
Okay, Frank, before I get further with Ms. Christian, now you are concerned with small businesses and how the Affordable Care Act can impact them. Is that correct?
That's correct. Don, how is it now with my
audio? You're great now. Great.
Okay, great. Thank you. I probably just got too excited and got too close to the phone. So, Don, we know that group health insurance and individual health insurance costs have gone up dramatically, continue to go up dramatically. We are very concerned about our small businesses in South Carolina, and there's like over 360,000 small business owners who don't even have employees; they just have themselves. Every one of them should be interested in finding out what's available through the health insurance marketplace. And there are over 71,000 small businesses with below 20 employees. They also should be very interested. Those small business owners who are offering group health insurance or want to offer group health insurance probably need to look at the Affordable Care Act's federal health insurance marketplace, because the premium assistance can make it get good quality health insurance less cost than a group health plan. So that's what we're trying to convey to the small business owners. If they offer group health insurance and they can afford it, great. But if they're thinking about dropping it, they really need to look into the federal health insurance marketplace and allow somebody like Sarah's people help them find out what they need to know.
Now, Sarah, correct me if I'm wrong. Haven't premiums gone down? Because I think the Biden administration put more money toward premiums, so premiums are lower than ever. Is that true?
Yes, that's correct. So last year with the American Rescue Plan Act, they did implement subsidies to reduce those premium costs for consumers. And with the Inflation Reduction Act that they just recently passed, this is going to go through 2025. That will continue those subsidies, which drop those premiums for people.
No.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can I have one thing, Don? Also, the Biden administration then removed the income cap on who could qualify for premium assistance. That had been in place for a long time. They said if you make over 400% of the federal poverty level, then you could not get any premium assistance. Well, the Biden administration took that away, and they simply said we're going to base it on income, family income. And so a lot of small business owners who in previous years were not able to get any type of premium assistance to get so they could have affordable health insurance now are eligible. So we encourage everybody to who's an employer, either they have employees or just they're self-employed. They need to check this out because they may find that they can actually get some premium assistance now.
All right. We're going to talk about how this works, but let me grab a telephone call first. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, happy Tuesday, y'all.
Yes.
Hey, one thing that's important people don't look at a lot of times, and I want to bring this up. People a lot of times only look at the premium. What you also need to be cognizant of is what does your deductible do? Does your deductible go up? Because that's what you're paying until insurance starts kicking in that 80-20 kind of part. But people need to look at both the premium, your deductible, what your out-of-pocket maximum is, and then also what providers is that insurance going to be accepted by. So if you have a low premium, I pay only a couple dollars a month. Well, if my deductible is $10,000, that policy is almost worthless. So I hope people will be more informed and look at the whole package and not just the sticker price. Thanks a lot.
All right. And, Sarah, I would imagine, if you don't mind me calling you by your first name, that when you talk to these individuals, you discuss all of that. But address his concern and tell us how the program works. What plans are there out there?
Yeah, so that's a good point he made because, unfortunately, some consumers haven't been educated in the past and what they're receiving, they might just be informed with that low premium, but they didn't realize what they were getting into with a high deductible or out-of-pocket maximum. So as a navigator, we are required to show you all health plans that show up in your area, and we are required to break that down for you to see, okay, what's important to you, because this plan, has, $20 premium, but it has $5,000 deductible, and we'll compare all those plans side by side and see which has low deductible, low co-insurance, whatever that person is wanting that's important to them, that they know that this is what their plan contains. What also is nice is, depending on your eligibility, you could be eligible for cost-sharing reductions. And if you chose a silver plan on the marketplace, that's going to reduce your costs for your deductible, the co-insurance, out-of-pocket maximum. So we are required to inform that. And then we also ask our consumers, okay, are you on prescription drugs? Do you have specific doctors that you want to go to? And then, again, with that plan comparison, we can add that to see, okay, which plans cover your doctors and your prescription drugs? So the consumer knows, okay, this is the right plan for them. It covers everything, and it has what's most important to them regarding costs.
And Don, let me weigh in also. He does make an excellent point regarding make sure you know what you're getting when you get a plan. But, you know, we have found that in the private market, there are some very low benefit, low cost plans. And that's unfortunately a lot of small business owners had to turn to them because they weren't eligible for any premium assistance in the past. And so they were basically doing what the gentleman was saying, that they were paying some premium, might have been low, but they hardly even used any of the benefits. We had a sole proprietor this past year. He was paying $500 a month for a low benefit short-term health insurance policy. But through the marketplace, because of what the Biden administration did and taking off the income cap, he and his daughter now were getting quality full benefit health insurance plans for only $99 a month because of the subsidy. Now, but still, the point is well taken. Make sure that you just don't buy on premium. You want to make sure you're getting a deductible that you can afford, copays that you can afford, and make sure also that you're in the provider network that you need to be in.
All right, Ms. Christian, tell us, how does this work? Okay, I need insurance, and I'm coming to you to access the marketplace. What happens?
Yeah, so if you meet with a navigator, the easiest way to apply is through healthcare.gov. That is the trusted site to apply to the marketplace, but there is phone and paper options as well. But if you meet with the navigator, they will first, you know, give you authorization form, just inform you of your rights, that, you know, we're not going to share your personal information, but knowing how a navigator can help you. And then they'll just start, you know, putting in your information. If you have that, you bring that to your appointment, such as, you know, income information, household information, they can help you assist and put that information on your application. It will come up and show your eligibility, how much you'll save on those premiums, what we talked about earlier, and then we can start comparing those plans. And that's ultimately the consumer's choice. You know, maybe they compare the plans and maybe they need a time to think about it, or maybe they don't want to do it right now, but they can always come back to us with questions. How many times? It's always a free program that we can assist them.
Now, what is the, I believe I heard Frank say that the government has removed income caps, but for the individual, don't you have to make a certain amount above the poverty line in order to apply for the Affordable Care Act?
Correct. So this year, for like a household of one, you have to make at least $13,590. So if you don't meet that, you wouldn't be getting those subsidies for the marketplace.
And the reason you...
Don, let me explain, because the listener probably doesn't understand why that's the case. When the Affordable Care Act was passed back in 2010, originally it had in there that anybody below 100% up to 100% of the federal poverty level was going to get Medicaid, or maybe it was 135% federal poverty level. I can't remember which figure. But then the courts said, no, you can't force a state to expand their Medicaid program. So South Carolina and about 10 other states still have not increased the opportunity for people with a little bit higher incomes to get Medicaid. That left a gap, a health insurance gap, between those who were eligible for Medicaid and those who were eligible then for the Affordable Care Act. And unfortunately, South Carolina has not closed that gap by expanding the Medicaid program as they're able to do and get some money for it from the federal government. So I thought it was important to understand why there was a lower range on being that qualifying for it. But it was all it wasn't part of the original game plan, but the courts kind of made that a possibility.
So basically what I hear you say is that because South Carolina did not expand its Medicaid program, then those people who fall below the income ratio for the Affordable Care Act, they're just left out in the cold.
And if they don't qualify, if they make too much to be in Medicaid and they make too little to qualify for getting the premium assistance on the Affordable Care Act, yes, they're simply out of luck.
So how many South Carolinians are out of luck?
There's several hundred thousand. Sarah, I don't know if you know that exact number.
Yeah, I don't know the exact statistic, and I'm glad, Frank, that you brought that up, because we do see consumers that unfortunately fall into that gap where they're not eligible for Medicaid or the marketplace, and then their only option, really, this isn't healthcare coverage, but the only option is really we refer them to a community health center, and the community health center can give them a sliding fee scale where they're only paying very minimal amount to see the doctor.
Let me ask
you. We do want to say the community health centers do a great job.
They do.
Of serving those who are low income and do not have health insurance for one reason or another. Community health centers do a great job of providing services to them.
Well, let me ask the both of you this. If you're unemployed, don't have a job, if the state had expanded Medicaid, would those people have been able to get Medicaid, or you're just out of luck either way around?
Well, the state has requirements for who's eligible for Medicaid other than simply income. Currently, I think it is, Sarah, that you actually have to have if you're over 100% of the federal poverty level and you don't have any children, and you still don't qualify for the Affordable Care Act, even if you're less than 100% of the federal poverty level, I think it's tied to if you have kids or not. Is that right, Sarah?
Yes, the different categories of Medicaid where a lot of people do fall in that gap is, say there is simply low income, but they don't have a disability, they don't have dependents, they're not aged or blind, or the categories that Medicaid has that, unfortunately, then they just can't get coverage because they're not meeting that requirement for the 100 federal poverty level for Marketplace.
All right, so someone's listening to this program and they need to talk to a navigator about the Affordable Care Act and obtaining insurance. How do they do that?
So we all are on getcoveredamerica.org. It's all one word. It's nice because it's a widget. You can put in your zip code wherever you're at, and you can see who is nearest you, and you can contact them and schedule an appointment. And I would also like to know, even if it comes up and maybe the nearest one doesn't seem that near, we are willing to travel to meet, in a common location, meet where you're at. Maybe it doesn't work around your work schedule. We are willing to, make some evening hours, weekend days as well work, because ultimately we're here to get people covered. So we want to make that work for the consumer.
Hold on, Frank, 733-5620 is the number. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act for individuals and small businesses. Open enrollment begins today. Go ahead, Frank.
Well, I was just going to throw out another opportunity for people if they can't get to the internet to do that search, or they get it might be too much for them to go through. They can just simply call my office, and I'll take the information, and I'll have a navigator call them. So my number is 803-252-5733. Call that number. Probably, phone may not be answered. Just leave a message, your name and telephone number, and that you're interested in health insurance. And I will make sure that Sarah gets the information and that they can they'll get contacted directly by a navigator.
So, Sarah, those people who are interested in signing up for the Affordable Care Act, what information do they need to bring or have on them?
So either if they know this information or bring it with them to their appointment, it could go a little more quickly. But information that they could know about is such as their household information, their addresses, who is applying for coverage, if there's multiple people in the household that need coverage, Social Security numbers, information on filing your taxes, income information, is what you think you're going to make in the coming year, things like that. And they use this information really so they get a better feel of the eligibility, so how much you can save. So the more information you know and provide is really going to help the eligibility notice determine how much you're going to save on the marketplace.
Now, Frank, how does that work for small businesses?
Well, this is not group insurance we're talking about. This
okay.
is individual health insurance. But we know that most small businesses truly small businesses, less than 100 employees, most of them are not offering group health plans. But the employer is probably should be interested in trying to make sure that their his employees have health insurance. Look, having health insurance makes all the difference in the world in a productive employee. Because if that employee is not going to the doctor and they're ill, they're bringing that illness to the workplace. If they have a child that's sick and they and that child can't get coverage, then they need to stay home and take care of the child. Just having health insurance makes people, all people, including workers, more better off. And again, and there's a lot of small business owners, especially the over 360,000 that are self-employed with no employees. They need good health insurance so that they can make sure that they stay healthy so that they can continue to work.
So with a small business, it's a matter, it's a matter of directing those employees to the exchange, the federal exchange.
Well, they can either give them the information, the employees, the information of the website, or they can give them the information of here is a navigator, call them if you would like to talk about it. Or if they have employees, they can invite a navigator in to their place of business and let the navigator talk to the employees there at the job site. So there's a number of different ways for an employer to help make sure that their employees who need health insurance have this opportunity.
So, Sarah, can you give us an idea of the various plans out there and a ballpark figure of the cost of each plan?
Well, the cost for the plans is really going to depend on the person's income level and their household size. So it's going to vary person to person. But because of those subsidies of the premiums, the federal government is, you know, promoting this year that 4 out of 5 consumers could find a plan for $10 or less. Your other part of your question, I'm sorry, what was it?
Well, let me ask you this. With the $10 or less premium, would the deductible be very high?
It really depends because going back to eligibility, they could be eligible for cost share reductions, which lowers the deductible and co-insurance prices. And depending on where they live, some carriers on the marketplace aren't in all counties and some are. So each carrier offers different plans on a different meta level. So some people have lots of options. So that's why it's kind of nice to have a navigator to compare all these between carriers and prices. So it's really going to vary.
Frank, when we first talked about this, when the Affordable Care Act first got off the ground, there was a concern about the fact that there were not enough carriers in South Carolina. Has that improved?
Well, I think it has actually improved, and Sarah probably has a better handle on the number of carriers that are offering plans through the federal health insurance marketplace. Sarah?
Yeah, so this year we had two new carriers join. One left, Bright Health left the marketplace, but currently on the marketplace for this year is Blue Cross, Blue Shield. They're in all counties. Absolute Total Care with Ambetter is in all counties. We have Cigna. They're in 4 counties. There is First Choice Next. They're in 17 counties. And there's Molina Healthcare, and they're in 43 counties, I believe. So those are the ones we have this year.
I know initially it seemed like the only carrier was Blue Cross, Blue Shield. So you didn't really have.
I think you're right, Don. In your early years, it was that.
You didn't have that much of an option. How many people do you expect to assist, Frank, first from you, from a small business aspect? How many people you think?
Well, we're calling people every day, calling small business owners every day, trying to at least let them know what's available to them. And if they are interested, we have a navigator contact them directly. But as I said, there are a lot of small business owners out there, like I said, over 360,000 self-employed people who don't have any workers, but they are small business owners, over 71,000 small businesses with less than 20 employees. And an interesting statistic and a very good statistic is that of the small businesses out there, just over 20% of them are owned by minorities.
All right. Tell you what, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion on the Affordable Care Act. 733-5620 is the number. We're talking with Mr. Frank Knapp. He is president of the South Carolina Small Business Chamber of Commerce, and also Ms. Sarah Christian of the South Carolina Primary Healthcare Association. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Greetings, District 70 residents. This is your state representative, Dr. Jermaine Johnson. 2 years ago, we made history, and since then, we have gotten a lot done, from roads being fixed to honoring community heroes to broadband expansion. But there is still so much work to be done. We have an upcoming election on November 8th, and I'm humbly asking for your vote to continue serving you in the South Carolina General Assembly. Thank you. Now let's do it for LR. This ad was paid for by the committee to elect Johnson for SC.
Are you passionate about helping children and families? Turn that passion into results. New child welfare case managers with the South Carolina Department of Social Services can earn a starting salary of at least $41,200, with additional salary increases for BSW and MSW degrees, and annual increases after 1 year of service. Learn more at dss.sc.gov. This message is sponsored by the South Carolina Department of Social Services.
Frank, you mentioned the fact that South Carolina is one, I think it's 12 states who have not expanded the Affordable Care Act so Medicaid could pick up citizens who didn't qualify on the exchange. But also, South Carolina doesn't have its own exchange. So when, and by exchange, I mean its own marketplace. So people will be working off the federal marketplace. Is that correct?
That is true. We've always used the federal marketplace.
Sarah, is there a difference between the federal marketplace and what states who have expanded Medicaid and set up their own exchanges?
Essentially, since we're on the federal marketplace, we're using their system. And state-based marketplaces, they're able to kind of make their own system in a way, and they can determine what open enrollment period they do, because some state-based marketplaces, they have different dates for open enrollment. So it looks a little different in terms of that stuff. But I don't know if a state-based marketplace gives more options to people if they are, have non, if they're a non-expansion state for Medicaid.
So how many people do you expect you will assist this year?
So we definitely have goals to assist as many people as you can, at least in educating and reaching as many people in the community throughout the state. Our goal for each navigator, we currently have 15. We want them to at least try and enroll 75 people into the marketplace, like per person. And then we also have goals for Medicaid to see who can help that are eligible for Medicaid that need assistance in applying for that.
Frank, you know, a large part of this is just getting that information out there. Let's grab a telephone call first. 733-5620 is the number. Yes, go ahead.
Hey, I actually have a question. This, I don't know if this applies to y'all or not. If it doesn't, just laugh at me and not answer it. But every year I enroll in flex spending. And this year I let it get by me, and I realized this morning, I was like, oh, it was October, and I didn't do it through my workplace. Is there a private source or some other source for a flex spending type account that I could maybe enroll in just for this 1 year? Since I missed my window for my employer, I'll hang up with
before them. Hold on a second. Before I let them answer that, what is flex spending? Okay, he hung up. But anybody want to take that?
Well, sir, my guess is what he's talking about is this is a plan in his employer has made an account that he can use for multiple purposes, and that maybe he doesn't have to pay taxes on what he sets aside in a flexible spending plan. Sarah, is that your understanding?
Yes, it is.
But his question is, if he missed the opportunity with his employer, is there a private plan that allows him to do the same? I don't know of one.
Yeah, because I know state employees had open enrollment for the month of October, and I think if you missed that deadline, you're just out of luck, I think.
Yeah, well, this is he wasn't talking about signing up for health insurance. He was talking about a separate type of employer plan that allowed for flexibility of how they spend it for health insurance, for any type of health care billing. And he just simply missed that, so he kind of missed out on having some tax-free money to meet health care needs.
So how long is open enrollment?
So it lasts until January 15th, so it's November 1, so starting today through January 15th, 2023.
Frank, have you seen an improvement? I know during the Trump administration they cut back on open enrollment. I think it was like, what, maybe a month, and then they eliminated Navigators. So you seen a big change since we switched administration?
Yeah, Don, you're absolutely right. Before President Trump took over, it was this 60 or 90 day period that you could have for open enrollment, and then Trump administration basically cut that down to 1 month. They're trying to limit how many people could enroll in the Affordable Care Act. This is their way of kind of sabotaging it. And they did some other things also to hurt insurance companies being interested in offering a plan. All that has changed now in the Biden administration. Open enrollment's gone back to its regular time frame. The cuts to the insurance, the subsidies to the insurance companies have been reversed, I believe. And again, the Biden administration took off the 400% federal tax cap, income cap, allowing more small businesses and other people to enroll that could never get the premium assistance in the past. And I got to tell you, I get reports of people who are surprised that they can actually get premium assistance. They thought they made way too much money for family income. But in fact, they were in fact getting some premium, qualifying for premium assistance.
So is there a cap on how much you can make before you access the federal marketplace in South Carolina?
Sarah, you want to explain how that works?
So, if I'm correct, you're referring to what Frank said, if you made, because they used to be 100% to 400% of the federal poverty level, so now you can get assistance if you make over 400%. So, depending on your household size, it's going to show how much you need to make at least to get premium assistance. I don't know. I think there is a cap, say, you receive those subsidies and your income changes during the year. Maybe it ends up being more or less, depending on what happens. You might owe the IRS some, or you might get a refund as well. And that's for everybody on the marketplace. If you have a life change and you took those subsidies, premium tax credits in advance, your tax return could see a refund, or you might owe, depending on what happens with your income.
And Don, and this is the type of complicated question, at least the answer is a little complicated, that the navigator can answer one-on-one. There is no actual cap, an income cap that I know of right now, but it is a sliding scale, and it's based on some other factors now. But that hard cap of 400% of the federal poverty level is gone now, and a lot of people who weren't eligible in the years past are eligible now to get some premium assistance.
You know, I've known people who, for one reason or another, they have had to go on the federal marketplace here in South Carolina. Say they were working for a company that provided group insurance, but they no longer work there. They're either in private practice or whatever, and they have had to go on the marketplace. And they have told me if it had not been for the Affordable Care Act, they didn't really know what they would do because they were able to insure their entire family, and it has just been a boon for them. Is that the type of comment that you hear, Ms. Christian?
Yeah, definitely, because I know when I've heard consumer stories, it's something happened in their life, and, yeah, they need to go in the marketplace, and they have good things to say about it, that, you know, this is what they needed. They had coverage, and say maybe with a previous job they were offered COBRA, which is a different type of coverage, and they declined that and went to the marketplace because COBRA can be very expensive. So, yeah, they have good things to say about it. And I definitely, kind of as your conversation has gone on about new carriers being on the marketplace in South Carolina this year and those subsidies being in place to reduce premiums, I definitely encourage people to revisit the marketplace because maybe if you looked at it in the past, you thought it was too expensive or you didn't have a lot of options. I definitely recommend reaching out to Navigator and seeing what your options are for this year because it definitely could be different in from previous years.
Yeah, COBRA is very expensive. I mean, it can be. It's expensive. Yeah, go ahead, Frank.
Well, Don, I was just going to say that during the pandemic, a couple of years of the pandemic, the Affordable Care Act's marketplace with subsidies was a godsend to many families. We even had U.S. Republican senators saying, oh, people can turn to the federal marketplace when they were laid off. They had no income or very diminished family income. Thanks to the Affordable Care Act that was passed in 2010, the pandemic of 2019 and 2020 really tapped into that, and it really handled a lot of the needs of people who were impacted by the pandemic. So we should be very grateful for having it in place. But today, it's still there, and people need to check this out. If they don't have health insurance, or if they have health insurance, they can no longer afford. They need to be talking to a Navigator, and I also want to make sure that people understand that even a insurance broker can actually sell policies through the marketplace. Won't cost you any more money if you happen to talk to a private insurance broker. Tell them you want to talk about what's in the marketplace that they can access. So the Navigators are doing a great job. Insurance brokers can also offer the same product and get the same great deals that the Navigator can steer people to.
Now, prior to the Affordable Care Act, you could buy a policy, but an insurance company did not have to insure you if a woman was pregnant or if you had a pre-existing illness. Talk about what all policies on the exchange must carry.
So on the exchange, they're not going to discriminate. Anyone can get coverage, regardless of disability or chronic illness. But they are all required to offer the 10 essential health benefits. So all the plans will offer that. So that gets into covering your immunizations, your wellness visits for women. If they're pregnant, behavioral health. Hospital visits, it covers all those type of things. So that's really nice knowing that when you go to the marketplace, you could probably find something that's affordable for you, but you're also getting that quality healthcare coverage as well.
So, go ahead, Frank.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the nice thing about it, yes, the marketplace during this open enrollment period is open to anybody regardless of their health condition. They cannot be rated higher. They'll pay the same rates as a healthy person for that policy. This is the advantage of having this open enrollment plan policy for the health insurance marketplace. This is from here today until January 15th. People need to check it out, especially if you have a health condition that's driving up your private health insurance. You need to find out about what is available to you through the federal health insurance marketplace.
I want to accentuate that once again, because prior to, as I said before, the Affordable Care Act, and Frank, this is something I never could never understand. Why was there this opposition to the Affordable Care Act when prior to the Affordable Care Act, it was very difficult to get insurance, especially if you had a pre-existing illness or if you were pregnant, if a woman was pregnant. I mean, you had plans out there that didn't really offer much, and if they did, you would have to pay out of your pocket for them. I never could understand why there was this opposition for it. But under the Affordable Care Act, and I want you to say this again because it's very important, all premiums must carry the 10 essential items, as Sarah said. And I was wondering if you could go down the list, either one of you, to discuss what those items are.
I don't have the exact list, mm-hmm. but some of the examples, like I said, are going to cover those immunizations, you know, your wellness visits, behavior health or mental health, going to cover, you know, hospital bills. You have to stay in the hospital for women, you know, their wellness checks, they're pregnant. So all those things that you probably will need at some point, it's going to cover.
Regardless of what plan you get, how low your premium is, those items will be included in your insurance plan.
Yes.
Once again, our number here is 733-5620. If you have a question about the Affordable Care Act and how it applies to you. So, Frank, one of the questions I wanted to ask is about getting the message out, and I'm glad you are calling on our program today, but how do you get the word out to small businesses that this is something that they probably need to take a look at?
Well, Don, a lot of it is from people like yourself with a communication mechanism. We're trying to reach out to folks who have talk radio stations and other media to help get the word out. I know that the navigators are out there knocking on doors and trying to go to meetings where people gather, church or otherwise, and spread the word and make themselves available. I know that we are sending out information all the time to our supporters across the state via email or through social media. We're calling every day. We're calling businesses across the state to talk to the owner and say, this is available, are you interested? And you know, we will get two or three businesses that'll say, oh, yeah, I think I am interested in finding out more. And then we hook them up with a navigator. So we're trying all the different mechanisms. Unfortunately, we don't have a media budget to do this. But, you know, a lot of private insurance brokers are also spreading the word, and they do have media budgets. And so thanks to them also for trying to educate the public about this.
The Biden administration added, I don't know how much money, but they add enough money to increase the subsidies and also to get states that did not expand Medicaid. They offered these subsidies and incentives to get them to take it. Unfortunately, South Carolina wouldn't take it, even though that would have meant more money coming to the state. How long would these subsidies be in effect? Can anybody answer that?
Are you talking about for the states to encourage them to expand Medicaid?
To the states and also to the subsidies that drove down the cost of the insurance, if that makes any sense.
Well, so the subsidies that are available to the public now are a function of Congress and the president. I think that you have to go back every couple of years, back to the well, so to speak, and say, yeah, we need this much money to continue doing the job that we're doing. So, you know, it's all approved through Congress, but right now I think we're good through 2024. Is that right, Sarah?
Through 2025, for 3 years, it's in place until they have to do something again with it.
Wow, which means in 3 years, if the right people aren't in place and subject, then premiums can go up again. So is it best to talk with a navigator, Sarah, or is this something you can do on your own in terms of signing up for the Affordable Care Act?
So it's definitely something you can do on your own. Like I said, you can do it online. It's pretty simple, but, you know, maybe you just don't know about the marketplace, or maybe you know about the marketplace, but you really like getting that assistance and knowing what you're getting. So either way, if you prefer to do it on your own or want to get in touch with a navigator, it's definitely worth it if you want to get your questions answered. And a navigator can break it down, each step of the application, what this is, what this means, and really – make sure you get the right plan that's right for you.
Frank, describe a small business. How many employees does the business have to have in order to be a small business?
Well, Don, we consider anything, any business with less than 100 employees to be a small business. Now, having said that, the Small Business Administration, the SBA, has a much, much higher number that they consider to be a small
business. I think it's like 500, right?
It is 500.
Yeah.
And that's fine for what their purposes are, but that's not a small business in South Carolina. You know, most of our businesses, probably 99%, have less than 100 employees in South Carolina. Most of those have less than 20. 85% have less than 20 employees. In fact, small businesses with less than 5 employees make up over 50% of South Carolina's businesses. So we, you know, like most states, we are small business states, and we employ about half of all workers in the state are employed by small businesses, and we're a crucial part of the economy. And that's why this Affordable Care Act, through the federal insurance marketplace and its subsidies, is so important to allow small businesses to be able to help their employees get very affordable health insurance, pay less per month than if they had a group health plan for the same type of benefits. And that enables them to compete with the bigger businesses who can afford to offer a group health plan. So having a group health plan at your business does not mean that you're going to get a better plan or pay less money than through the Affordable Care Act.
When the Affordable Care Act was originally launched, there was some concern about large businesses dropping their insurance plans and herding their employees into the exchanges. Did that happen, and are there any rules prohibiting that from happening?
No, that didn't. I mean, it was nice, but it didn't happen. You know, most larger
businesses. You did hear that, though, didn't you?
Oh, of course. It's always one of the scare tactics, right? It's always one of the scare tactics, but be afraid of the Affordable Care Act. But we have now almost 13 years of experience, and we know that did not happen. And most large businesses, that offer group health insurance do it for a reason, not only so they can have healthy employees, but it helps them compete in the marketplace for talent. So there was always a lot of reasons why they were that they offered health insurance, and that scare tactic never came to be.
All right, we'll take a break, come back in a few minutes, talking with Mr. Frank Knapp, president of the South Carolina Small Business Chamber of Commerce, and Ms. Sarah Christian with the South Carolina Primary Health Association. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Edmund. You may not know that David Edmund is a candidate for South Carolina Commissioner of Agriculture. David Edmund is a U.S. Army veteran and earned a Bachelor of Arts degree in religion from Allen University. He's served 28 years as minister and pastor in the Methodist Church. David Edmund is a husband and father who wants to use the Office of Agriculture Commissioner to empower families and communities all across South Carolina. Tuesday, November 8th, vote David Edmund for Commissioner of Agriculture.
Paid for by Edmund for Agriculture.
Cliff had a project he had to get done. He was in a hurry because the game was coming on. He put on his shoes. He put on his socks. Then out the door he went to install a mailbox. He was forgetting something he couldn't quite recall. Then it hit him. I have to make a call. He ran in the house. He grabbed his phone. He quickly dialed 811. His lines are marked so he can dig without flaw. It was fast, free, and easy. And it was also the law. Sponsored by South Carolina 811. Aired by SCBA in this station.
And we're back on the Urban Scene. Don Frierson with you talking about the Affordable Care Act. Frank, you remember when the Affordable Care Act has been around for how long? 13 years now?
Well, it was passed in 2010. I think that they took them a couple of years to get actually the marketplace open.
Mm. But you remember the debate going on and how people were, a lot of people were opposed to it. Some people lost their seats in the House and Senate because they voted for it. Now it's just become a part of the fabric of everyday life. And how many, I think it was, it's something like 35 million people on the Affordable Care Act now.
Sarah may have how many total people are on have a policy through the Affordable Care Act, but I do remember those days. It was a tough partisan vote.
It was
in 2009, 2010, and it barely passed in the Senate. It was simply a partisan issue. You know, the people uh-huh. didn't want Barack Obama to have a major victory. They almost stopped it. But fortunately, there were a lot of us, the people who knew they were going to lose their House seat. We have one in South Carolina, Representative John Spratt from up in the Rock Hill area. He was in a conservative district. He knew if he voted to pass the Affordable Care Act, he was going to be challenged and probably lose. And that's exactly what happened. He voted for it. He was proud to vote for it. And he lost his next election because of it. That's a profile in courage. We don't have too much of that in Congress anymore.
Yeah, you know, I wonder how many people in Rock Hill now are on the Affordable Care Act plan. But you also remember the Trump administration tried to kill it, and it was John McCain doing that dramatic scene in the Senate where he did the thumb down thing.
Yes, he did. That's exactly what happened. The Republican Congress tried to basically gut the Affordable Care Act and take away all the funding. And John McCain, Republican, of course, he's now passed, from Arizona, cast the deciding vote to block the effort to kill off the Affordable Care Act in a very dramatic late night session in the Senate, put his thumbs down, and that ended the effort. And today, a lot of the folks who, was always a campaign tactic of say, oh, we're going to kill the Affordable Care Act, they don't talk about that anymore.
No.
Because he said it's so ingrained now into our health care system.
John McCain walked into the well of the Senate and thumbs down. I'll never forget that. Let's go to the telephones. Once again, hello.
Hey, one thing I'll say about this, let's be transparent. Do y'all remember the famous saying, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor? I mean, we remember him saying that, correct?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a friend who lost not just once, but twice. They lost their child's doctor. So there were a lot of flaws with this that are not being mentioned. It's one of those things, like I mentioned before, about it's a low premium, high deductible type insurance. But yeah, I'll never forget that. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Well, that wasn't always true. Thank you.
But you know what, Frank, despite all of
it's
that.
It's funny. We're rolling the clock back now 12, 13 years ago to
yeah.
something that Barack Obama actually thought that would be the case. And, of course, when it all came rolling out and the way they had to handle it, they were right. People who wanted a certain policy had to be in a certain network that did not include those healthcare providers. It was unfortunate. But people simply were able to switch. It wasn't like they couldn't have anybody anymore. They just had to switch providers. It was a very small percentage.
But you know what? The same thing was true for group insurance too. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, so I never could understand what the big argument was about. What
it was more scare tactics.
Yeah. All right, Sarah, for the good of the order, take us through this once again. Open enrollment starts today. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And people who are on the Affordable Care Act, do they still need to come in and see you, or does any particular plan they're on, does it roll over?
Okay, so that is a great question. I'm glad you brought that up. So if someone's currently enrolled on the marketplace, it's always encouraged that you do an active re-enrollment during each open enrollment period to go back into your application, you know, make sure, you know, if you have fluctuations in your income or any life events, you know, you update your application because, you know, if that varies year to year, you go back in there and change it, your premium tax credits might, you know, go up. There might be a difference in what you're getting because you had some life changes. So it's always good to go back in there and make sure everything's still correct for the new year. You know, maybe if you really like your plan, you're fine with your plan, that's awesome. You can keep it, you know, don't have to do anything, you just, you know, roll over. But maybe you want to look at your other options. Maybe you want to change plans. And that's also, too, when you come back, you know, meet with a navigator, we can go in your account and help you look at what all plans are offered for this year and see, you know, if you're looking for something different.
All right, let's go.
The health insurance plans change all the time, even in the private market. And so it is important to do reassess where you are to see if it might be something
Hello?
Else you want to change.
Hold on. Let me grab the call very quickly, Frank. Harvey, go ahead.
Yes, but Don, I just want to just state this. The first year that the Affordable Care Act came out, I'll never forget the face of the lady who hadn't had a mammogram done in years because she didn't have health insurance, and she had a positive family history of breast cancer. And when I showed her the premium and the deductible amount, I will never forget that. Okay, so the caller said you could not keep your doctor always, but if you carefully select your plan, most times you can find your doctor's going to be in that network. You just have to do a little extra work.
All right, thank you. Now, let me ask you this, because we're almost out of time. Anyone wishing to access a navigator, what must they do?
Well, let me say that Sarah's going to give you the URL for people that they want to do it on their own. But I will, again, give you my office number.
Okay, give us
anybody
that number.
It's 803-252-5733. Just leave a message that you're interested in health insurance. Give me your name and number, and I will make sure that you get a navigator from the Primary Health Care Association contact you directly.
All right. That's probably the best way because some of our listeners don't have internet. But what is the internet address, Sarah?
Yeah. So all of our navigators are on getcoveredamerica.org. So that's all one line, getcoveredamerica.org. And so if you're able to visit that site, you can put in your zip code and navigators near you will come up. So it'll show you that navigator's name, where they're located, their phone number. Since each navigator has a different phone number, it's, you know, we have them on there. And then you can schedule an appointment with them, with someone who's closest to you.
Do you go out and speak to groups?
Yes, we do. So a lot of our navigators are always attending different community events or meetings, and we always offer that up, not only to small businesses, but any type of organization. If you want us to come and speak and present or, you know, do something more informal and just answer questions, we are more than happy to do that.
How can they get in contact with you?
So Frank has offered his phone number. My phone number, too, since I'm the program coordinator, I can be reached at 803-788-2778. And if, you know, someone else in the community comes along a navigator and or when a presentation, then they can get that contact information from that specific navigator as well to set up something.
All right, Frank, thank you for giving us the call today. And Ms. Christian, thank you for joining us, too. And Frank, I would like to stay in contact with you because I would love to get you on periodically as we go through this enrollment period. I would like to have you back at least two or three more times.
Please, all you have to do is ask, Don. You know that. Always there for you. Thank you so much for this opportunity for Sarah and I to be on. This is a greatly important issue that the public needs to know about what is available to them with affordable health insurance.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank the both of you for joining us on today's program. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Urban Scene. I'll be back tomorrow, and the gang will be back, Vince Ford and Ms. Tamika Isaac Devine. Looking forward to having them all in the house on tomorrow. So in the meantime, go vote and have a very nice day.